great moment for Arsenal at the expense of Manchester United. What a turnaround at the Emirates.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. Please help by subscribing and check out footballpurist.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Purely Arsenal Podcast. I've got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
I'm good, Jack. How are you?
Terrific, mate. Interlow, bored out your brains?
A little bit. It allows me to get on with a few things in life, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly. I've become a husband again for a week, so it's not a bad thing, is it? I'm joking. Good to have you on, mate. I've also got Michael Harris.
How you doing, Jack?
Good, mate. Good to finally have you back on. We haven't got the full A team back. Mark's not feeling too well. He's got a case of the Urzils, but I'm joking, Mark. I know you're not feeling well, really. Or maybe you know, Urzil is truly sick all the time. We'll get back to that one. But yeah, we'll get him on. We'll get him back on because I know he's got a lot to say. So, but good to have you on. You doing well?
Yeah, good. Just, you know, the kids driving me mad, as I said earlier. So I've got a bit of solace. And what best thing to talk about than Arsenal?
Yeah, there you go, mate. That's a good break to have. Well, maybe not. We'll get into it. But let's start with you, mate, because I know I've been chatting to Neil a lot about it. And I'll get over to him in a second. But we're four games in, 7 points. Overall, what's your thoughts so far? I know you've had a sort of week to sit there and think about it. What's your overall thoughts so far on everything, how we've played, performances, results?
I think, obviously, yeah, the key thing is, compared to last year where we were, we've got to look at that. We're in a much, much healthier position. Certain individuals seem to be on fire. So, obviously, like Aubameyang is off the mark. You know, he's scored in all but one game. Lacazette has bagged a couple as well. Obviously, the performance against Newcastle wasn't the greatest, but then Newcastle weren't that good either. I think we spoke about that. It was the Liverpool game where, you know, again, I think in the WhatsApp group, I think I said I was a bit frustrated with Pepe, but again, we'll probably touch on that in a little bit. I'm not saying that he's a dud at all. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a couple of things he did there which were fantastic, and then obviously we're talking about that chance that he missed, the 1-1. And then obviously rolling on to, you know, turning over the new Stoke, Burnley. We did well to dig in there and get a result, I thought. But then obviously, you know, where we left things was the North London derby. And you know, if you'd have said, you know, at the beginning of the day, I was confident that we were going to turn them over. And then obviously we had two absolute, you know, howlers in terms of the way we gave away those two goals. And then if you're saying 2-0 down and to come back to draw, most cases you'd be happy to take that. But there was still an element of, well, you know, we should have beat them. We should have turned them over. We gave them a 2-goal start as such, and we still, you know, a bit disappointing that we didn't get the 3 points. And I think part of that was, yes, the mistakes, but again, maybe possibly way we set up in certain cases. But all in all, you know, we you know, there's green shoots, I would say, especially when we've got the likes of Holding not far from being, you know, part of the squad again, and hopefully Tierney as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. It's early and it's difficult to judge, but certainly there's a better feeling in comparison to last season. And you've got to take into account who we've played as well. I mean, we had tough games at the early point of last season, but you do have to take account who we played. If we focus a little bit on the performances, Neil, there's not really been any complete performance. Now, it's early in the season, so not a ton of teams have had that either. You look at the other teams around us that have struggled as well, but yeah, taking City and Liverpool out of it, they're kind of in a different league at the moment, unfortunately. But are you concerned, Neil, though, that there's not really been a performance that we can sit and take note of? Because we were worried about that for a large part of last season. But there's been a massive amount of turnover in the squad. So I'm not as concerned at this point, but still thinking about it. Neil?
No, I'm not overly concerned, Jack, to be honest with you. I think that the board have signaled some sort of intent here with regards to how they're going to deal with incomings and outgoings. I don't think we've had such a cutthroat kind of policy in place where we're getting rid of players. Well, I'm pretty sure under the old regime we would have kept a couple of those, but we just seem to be offloading. So that eases the demands of the wage structure and the costs connected to that. So I'm really finding that a positive in that regard. Regards to performances, you know, I agree that there hasn't been anything complete. I mean, obviously we can speak of Guendouzi's second half performance against the North London Derby, which was one of the best midfield performances I've seen in a long time. I think he was outstanding, and if he carries that on going forward, then he's going to be, he's going to be a starter on the team sheet every single game, without a doubt. If I'm going to have to be critical, we may look at the defensive lineup. We can single out David Luiz, we can single out Socrates, etc., etc. I think the one person where I have got no problem saying I don't think the guy should start anymore is Xhaka, and I think you guys agree with me. I still don't understand what he brings or what he gives to the team. I don't get what he's supposed to do. Even if he's been made captain, he doesn't even show anything of captain leadership qualities, especially with the way he was so reckless with that penalty that he gave away. He's gone on to defend himself, which I think he conducted in the wrong way. There was nothing stopping him from going to public and saying what he said, but to then earmark and target the front line, well, they make mistakes and don't get lambasted for it. I think that's going against your own squad. And I think he should be reprimanded for that. That's really, I found that quite disgusting, quite immature, and almost as if, well, if they can make mistakes, I can too. I don't like that attitude at all. And for me, what little respect I may have had for him now is that's diminished because of that. So if I was to target a single player, I'd probably say him. But there are still bits and pieces for the other players to work on. But I think, Jack and Michael, it's too early. We're four games in. We are a little bit better off than we were this time last season. We've got two big games out the way. I like the positivity I've seen in a lot of the players. And even Liverpool, even if you take the Liverpool game, again, I mentioned it before, it's fine margins. You know, we could have gone into that part first half, maybe 2-1 or 1-0 up. If the lob had gone in, if Pepe's chance had gone in, you know, I thought we gave a lot better of an account of ourselves in the this time round than we have done in previous seasons. So for me, I'm really positive. I can't wait to get underway again, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Top man, I like it. And as you spoke about the Xhaka comments, I mean, last week we spoke about the Xhaka performance, but it hurts me to speak about it, to be honest. But the comments are, Michael, just let's basically go over what he said. So he basically said, yeah, I made a mistake, which very nonchalant, like, yeah, big deal kind of thing. I think the tone's really important. And then he kind of just says, no, you know, no one speaks about missed chances. But and there's so many people trying to justify the comments and saying they've been taken out of context. But if you watch the interview, he's almost trying to compare missed chances to a complete mindless, senseless, unnecessary tackle. And that's what concerns me. I'm like, how can you actually logically compare the two when missed chances happen to every team all the time, but a two-footed lunge to nowhere near the ball doesn't happen to a lot of top teams ever, but you're doing these kind of things quite regularly, you know what I mean? Is that the biggest, I mean, I'm going to get onto like weaknesses and strengths to the side, but is that the biggest concern we've got, that our chosen leader by the manager is someone that a lot of fans don't believe, and a lot of other teams' fans can't really believe that he's such a mainstay in our team? And it's a concern, isn't it?
Yes. So, I mean, the thing is, he's repeated it again. I think he's had a chat again with a Swiss newspaper. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep. Sorry, mate. Carry on.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I think he's mentioned it again. He's basically said the exact same words in an interview.
Jeez.
For a Swiss newspaper, because obviously he's away with Switzerland on the national duty, and again he's had a pop at Gary Neville, because he was the one that was saying the tackle. You know, you learn that in playing at school. You know, you don't go to ground in the box. You know, you never do that. So again, he said, you know, some people are just, you know, their job is just to talk a lot. And again, it was a mistake. And you know, no one talks about the chances we missed. You're right. You know, we've said on pods, you know, before last season about the lack of clinical side of Lacazette and Aubameyang a couple of times, didn't we? You know, when they've missed some big chances, which saw us lose games or draw games. So we, you know, it's not all about, you know, glossing over and having sort of, you know, only can see things where you want to see them. You know, there's been times last season when they both missed a few chances, but then at the same time, you're having a pop at someone who won a golden boot, got us to, you know, helped us get to where we were in the table. Despite those missed chances, you know, and yeah, the way he sort of brushed that off is a bit alarming. You know, it's like I'm almost in it for myself. You know, I'm protecting myself now, and the rest, you know, forget everybody else. I'm just, you know, not even going to be bothered with you know, the rest of the group. So for me, yeah, it was. I don't see that with anyone else. I don't see people flying into tackles like that. You know, in the penalty area, you know, just flying in, it was crazy to see it. It was absolutely bonkers to actually see that when the ball had long gone. Like, what are you thinking? So, I don't know. I mean, it's funny that Aubameyang is liked a post on Instagram saying that, you know, Arsenal should sell Xhaka. I don't know whether he knew what he was doing or whether that was someone else doing it on his behalf. Maybe one of his kids had gone on there and liked it. I don't know. But that causes, I think, when they go back to the dressing room, you know, after the international break, you know, might be brought up, and then it causes a little bit of a scene. I don't know. But I think Xhaka is one of those guys. He's obviously got some ability. I think he's one of those guys that when you look at all the stats and stats analysis, DNA, whatever they're called, they look at his stats and they see someone who's always at the top end of ball possession, long passes completed and things like that. But yeah, if there's a place that we need to improve on in January, or especially the summer window, I'd say it's that position there, because he's not really a DM. He's a deep line midfielder, but you know, his lack of defensive awareness, I should say, is just causing us a lot of problems, especially for new people like, you know, David Luiz trying to bed in and do stuff with Socrates. You know, it was just a bit of a dumpster fire, really. The way we conceded those two goals. You know, Luiz and Socrates and Xhaka, they all had fingerprints all over. You know, all of that, and it was it was unfortunate, because you know, we go and score two really good goals. And like we always do, we sort of just gift them away. But yeah, Xhaka needs to lead by example on the pitch by his performances, not by going and talking to people and, you know, causing more controversy over and pouring more fuel over the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, my concern is I don't think anything's going to change with him. You know, at that age, making that many mistakes that often, I personally don't think there's going to be a lot of change, a lot of improvement in him. I think he's just someone that makes errors, that has these like brain dead moments. So he's, you know, what we're looking for, to be perfectly honest, what I'm looking for is for him to be dropped at some point. But I can't really envision our manager doing that. Because I think he really values his experience. For one, we have pretty young, youthful centre midfield, don't we? And I think I texted you boys a few weeks ago. I got this strong feeling a few weeks ago that after looking at his teams that he played with, Seville, and who he was very, you know, reliant upon, that he's like a stature manager, where he's like through the centre of a pitch. He wants size, which is why he's like, so he seems like he's sometimes reluctant to play Torreira in those positions. Certainly not, never rushed to bring him back in, is he? You know, from you know, international breaks and whatnot. And I worry about that, because I think that's another reason why we don't see Lacazette in big away games. You know, I think it's a stature thing, which I find really odd. That concerns me quite a lot, I think, because I think Torreira is the one midfielder that we've got that has attributes that the others don't.
And he doesn't seem like he's that concerned whether Torreira starts or not in a lot of games. And I find that a little bit interesting. I'm not sure we'll get back to that one. But yeah, I think we can go on and on about Xhaka. But I think that's one of my biggest concerns for the season, Xhaka. I think he might cost us again, to be honest. And when you speak to other fans, that's the first player they look for on the team sheet. It's funny, isn't it? They go, if we've got Xhaka in the team, we'll target him. It was interesting. Did you hear some of the comments from Brendan Rodgers? I didn't watch the interview because he's a cringe David Brent-worthy person. But I read a few of his quotes about how he targeted Ozil in the last Arsenal game. Did you read any of that? And
I saw there's a clip. There's a Twitter account, I think, called Coach's View or something like that. And it was like a 1 minute clip, and he was on a like a chalkboard or whatever, and he was talking about the game when they beat us 5-1 at Anfield, and he was talking about when he was at Liverpool and what they did to sort of nullify, you know, Ozil and blah blah blah. Yeah, just talking himself about, you know, bigging himself up basically. I did catch a bit of that.
Yeah, basically, I'm not a fan of any players that become a target or they think that they can. Pressure or a weakness, you know what I mean? And I think Xhaka and Ozil fall into that gap massively, and I don't like that at all. So let's see how that progresses. But Neil, what do you think early signs for the I'll get both of your takes on this, early signs for youngsters, new signings, in the end, are you happy with the outgoings as well? I mean, we've been selling players up until last week. I mean, we've got rid of Nacho Monreal. Which is, you know, we didn't get rid of him as such. He obviously wanted to go back home. And then we also got Mkhitaryan off the books, which didn't look likely at all until sort of after the Tottenham game. About 850 grand a week, I think we've got rid of. Obviously, we're paying a lot of the new boys coming in. But early signs for the youngsters, new signings. You excited with them, Neil?
Yeah, I absolutely, 100% I am. And just speaking of the departures, I like it. I like it. Nacho may have been a bit unfortunate because we probably needed him currently until Tierney establishes himself in that position. But it is what it is. And I think I'm not going to complain too much, especially if the player wanted to go. There's no point having a player on your books who doesn't really want to be there, not who hasn't got the full commitment that he may have had in previous seasons. So I'm quite happy with it. The only two disappointing ones are Xhaka and Mustafi haven't gone yet, but hey-ho. We can hope and pray that one day they'll be gone as well very soon. New signings, I'll be honest with you, I know David Luiz had a couple of howlers, but I think Michael made a good point. You know, Xhaka may have also been a contributing part of that. I know it sounds like a Get Xhaka podcast at the moment, but I think David Luiz, again, although he should be accustomed to the Premiership as he's lived and breathed for a long time with Chelsea, he's still got to get used to like new players around him. He's still got to get used to the Emery way of playing. So I think he still probably needs a little bit of time. He's probably the only one which has concerned me in the new signings rank, if you like, where before the season started, I was probably quite excited by him coming because I thought he'd be one of the most stable players to start off with, but we did say he can be erratic at times, so maybe it's not a complete surprise. But all the others, oh my God, we've got Pepe in there, who I think just needs that goal. Once he gets that goal, my goodness me, he's going to be a machine. I even think, and this is a big shout from me, but I think he might even threaten Henry's record of goals scored for Arsenal if he stays, he keeps fit, and he's there for a good
Jesus.
Few years. Yeah, no, honestly, I've heard someone else that I know saying the same thing, and I completely agreed. I really think he's going to be massive for our club. It's just something so good about that player. Just his awareness and his ability and his confidence, and even his off-the-ball movement is good. It's just, he just needs that first goal. I said it in the last podcast, I think he's just trying too hard to bag it. Once he gets that in, it might even just be a little tap-in he needs. Just anything. To see that ball go in the net and he's off the mark. And I think he's going to be flying after that. And I think the defenders of other teams are going to have a nightmare containing him, Aubameyang and Lacazette, or whatever combination Emery chooses. Who else have we got? Ceballos. Have I got his name right at last? Is it Ceballos?
Yeah, bloody hell. You don't have to call it Danny anymore. Well done, mate.
I just came out with that.
Yeah, that was good. That was.
Thank you.
You're not like Jamie Redknapp. I don't know if you heard him commenting on, I don't know what he called him. It sounded ridiculous, but you did well.
Oh, thank you so much. I think he's great. I just think he had that one bad game against Liverpool. Was it a bad game because of him? Is it because of his positioning? I don't know. I think we've got to give him more chances. I think he's got to get game time. I think there's so much about him. His creativity. He seems like a baller as well. And what I like about him as well is his emotion when he comes on the pitch and he does something. It's a near miss. You see him, his reactions afterwards. He really is. Even when he gave that assist for the goal, I can't remember which game it was now, but his celebration. There you go. His celebration. It was going towards the fans. He's on loan. Ooh. Guys, he's on loan. And look at him. He's acting as if he's been with the club for years. And he's a legend. So I've got to give him a lot of time. We've got Tierney, which we've got a lot of hope for. And there's a lot of good speculation about him, what he's going to do. Who else have we got? We've got the other guy that's on loan. We can't really comment on him at the moment. Generally, I believe, Martinelli, wasn't it? Is Martinelli the other one, which obviously is going to be a squad player?
Yeah.
I think they're good signings. I think even the ones which are fringe players at the moment or coming back from injury are also going to do very well. I think it's good times for us. I'm really happy. I just got this really good vibe about the whole club. I don't know whether you guys feel it, but I feel very confident and upbeat about everything at the moment. It's just the defence we've got to sort out. Once we've got that defence nailed and we get Xhaka out of the team, we're going to win the quad.
It's been a very, very, I agree with you there. It's been a very interesting summer window, and I think we can't forget just the amount of change that's happened and how it might take time. Wenger always said he didn't like to sign more than three players in a window, right? He's quite a clever bloke, Arsene Wenger. So, you know, our change has been very dramatic in comparison to that. So, to bed that all in and become a cohesive unit, it would take time, a little bit of time for any manager. So I feel for Emery there. So I agree with you on Ceballos. He looks fantastic. Have you seen him running the show for Spain, by the way, like in the last few days? He's playing for the Spain first team. He's man of the match, created both goals.
There you go.
I mean, he's unbelievable. He's a very, very good player. Everyone moaning, aren't they, already? They're going, well, we've got to get him signed. And I'm like, do you know what? If I could hope now that we got in the top four, he was player of the season, and then for some reason he went back, I'd take it with both hands. I'd be like, I'd be upset, but I'd be like, fantastic. He's got us back in a big time. We could do something this window because it seems like we know what we're doing in windows now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, of course you'd want him to stay, but with the way players are, you don't know whether they're going to be here one moment to the next. So just enjoy the moment.
True.
You know, and I'm like, come on, we're four. I'm just enjoying watching. It does seem great though, doesn't it, Michael? He really seems like he's kind of taken Arsenal to his heart. I mean, Arsenal fans are singing his name already. You know, they've got songs for him already. I can hear in on the concourse and things like that. So, who for you, Michael? Who do you look at and go, has really caught your eye? Like, they're going to improve us immediately.
I touching on with what Neil has said. It's when he gets the ball. You know, he's always looking on, you know, to move the ball forward. And if there's not anything on, he'll cut back, he'll pirouette, he'll bring the ball back inside, he'll rotate it, recycle it, and he'll get it back again. And, you know, how long? I mean, especially last season, it was just too much sideways, wasn't it, in our midfield? I think it was. It was like, you know, get the ball 5 yards this way to this person, swing it out wide to the fullbacks and back again. I think with him, he gets our players, our attacking players on the front foot, and he gets their defence on the back foot. And if that happens, it's just going to create space. That's just going to create space for people to maybe, you know, a Pepe to make a run in, diagonal run or whatever. But it, as long as it gives the opposition something else to think about, him, as well as the other three, whoever's going to be there, And if you've got someone like Guendouzi, who's going to grow and develop and appear in the box a couple of times, like he did against Tottenham, when he had a great chance, which was saved, you know. So if you've got him doing that and creating little pockets and gaps for people, then I think he's going to be the one that's going to, you know, obviously Pepe will eventually, but I think at the moment he's the one I've been really, really impressed with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Good point as well on the way he puts. He reminds me a little bit of Janinho for Middlesbrough. You know, like when I used to read about Janinho, I always used to read about Janinho, and he used to say like really simple things. He used to be like, well, I've always been taught when I get the ball to run towards the goal. And I was like, that's so simple. Like, just, I'm like, what a simple way of looking at football. Get the ball, run towards the goal. But that's what Ceballos does, basically. If you watch him, he's always trying to go forward. He never... I watched the Tottenham game again yesterday. So how bored I am. But I watched it again for like the third time yesterday. When he came on, he never watches a pass. He makes a pass and he literally follows it. Wow. Every time, he never stops and stands like some of our players do. He moves, he tries to generate space, and I think he changes the whole tempo of a game when he comes into it. And I'm sure he was upset he didn't start, and he's probably rightly so. I think him starting might have been a bit more of an attacking move by Emery, but he's got plenty of chances to start. But I agree, I think he's going to be a huge thing. On the youngsters, Neil, we've got obviously Mkhitaryan's left, so hopefully that opens up gaps for people like Nelson and Willock to have more game time. What's your thoughts on maybe a youngster that we can look at this season and really hope that they can create a positive influence on the first team?
I think the two that you just mentioned. Astonishing that neither one, more especially Nelson, didn't come on against Spurs. Absolutely astonishing that they brought on Emery, brought on Mkhitaryan instead. He must have known at that point that he was off the next day. So that was really bizarre, and it would have meant so much to the lad. You know, he's an Arsenal boy, born and bred, I think, and you know, to come on against your rivals, your fiercest rivals, and to have a chance at, I think you were saying, Jack, James, wasn't it, saying that Sanchez just looked completely worn out, and he could have really exploited that, and it would have been such a great opportunity to show Emery what he can do, especially in that kind of situation where we could be looking for a winner in a very important game, and to exploit a weakness of the opposition team. That's what I think. That's where we've got to maybe improve a little bit, just have that little bit more cutthroatness and take a team to the sword when we've got an opportunity to do so. But to make a substitution like that made no sense to me. So I think Nelson and Willock as well, he's impressed me. I think he's another player that, you see, we let me just sort of sidetrack slightly. We've had so many of these so-called youngsters in the past for so many years, even under Wenger for a very, very long time. I think even from the beginning of Wenger's reign, that we heard so much about, we had so much hype about that they're going to be amazing, they're going to be outstanding, and then they just fall by the wayside. And I don't know whether that's due to poor management, poor coaching, they're not getting enough chances. That I don't know, I'm not privy to that information. But I think this time, you know, we seem to always have one on the fringes, but I think with Nelson and Willock, we've actually got two, and even Martinelli as well, who we've signed. He looks a player. So I think, I'm hopeful that Emery gives these players the chance to shine and show what they can do. And so we've got options. You know, we've been in seasons past where we were very limited of who we could bring on at certain times. We've always been saying on the pod, God knows how long, that, you know, Emery needs to sign a winger. Well, you know, we've got them now. We've got to use them. If you've got them, we've got to use them. Whether we've paid 80 million for them or they've come through the ranks, I don't care. If they've got the ability, they need to be played. So Willock and Nelson for me, there's probably others that you guys might mention, but them two are the ones that I want to see more of. I would have liked to have seen Nketiah, but he's obviously on loan. Maybe when he comes back, we can see a little bit more of him, because I think he's another outstanding prospect for us.
Yeah, I think so too. You got to look at Eddie Nketiah with, you know, Aubameyang's not getting any younger, and it's going to be hard for him to get into the team immediately. But,
you know, just around the corner, I think there's a possibly a huge opportunity for him. Hopefully he has a great season with Leeds. Yes. They seem like they're delighted to have him. I think he'll probably bring him up, to be honest. And if he does, mm-hmm. then I think he'll come back even stronger, you know, having Brilliant. That mm-hmm. full year of first team football, which will be huge for him. So I think it's a good loan, actually. Mm-hmm. I quite like it because I'm not sure how much. Well, I think he would have played in the Europa League games, but I think we're going to use Martinelli a lot in those, maybe centrally, lot in those Europa League early games. I don't know, but I think we will. So that will be quite interesting. But got to touch on. Me and Neil touched on it last week, Michael, that the front three, first time mm-hmm. we got to see him, obviously we can see it's not, you know, perfectly polished yet. But do you think we can talk about our best 11 as well a little bit, but on what you think that would be or something close to that. But do you think the front three mm-hmm. is going to become, you know, if you look at Emery at PSG, he always played Neymar, Mbappe, Cavani. Do you think mm-hmm. it's going to become to that level? I mean, we hope it does.
Yes. I think the key thing, though, would be who we play behind them. So I think against Tottenham, it was no matter how well Guendouzi played and everything, and he played a hell of a lot of forward balls, you know, really fired them into Lacazette. I think we need someone behind them. So it's especially at home, you know, against the other team, you know, now like Ceballos. Or Ozil, you know, if you've got one of those guys behind them, so you're playing two, whether it's Xhaka or Guendouzi or Torreira, the guy up, you know, after that has to be someone like Ceballos or Ozil, and then you can play that front three because then you'll have someone who obviously be able to pick him out. What I found a couple of times was Lacazette was coming deep sometimes to pick up the ball, and he was trying to make the passes through Aubameyang and Pepe, and sometimes the pass was on, he didn't pass it, and then he did pass it to someone and he overhit it, you know, and even despite, I think we were talking before he scored the goal, he was up for it, you could see he was up for it, Laka, but he was making a couple of dud passes, you know, and it looked like he was maybe trying too hard, and then he scored the goal and then it went from there. So I think it's, you know, especially at home, you know, you play Ceballos there, you know, and have those three in front of him, Christ, you know, and absolutely obliterate teams going forward. And obviously, the longer Pepe stays in the team, I think Mark mentioned it on his Twitter, saying that he watched the game, obviously, and he was there and he watched Pepe and he was absolutely out on his feet at the end of the game because he's getting used to the pace of the game. And a North London derby, as mad as that is, 100 miles an hour, that's going to do wonders for his fitness. So then when it comes along and he's playing against other teams who will be happy to sit back and we have, you know, all the possession, it's going to be hopefully easier for him. So I think those three, yes, will definitely, as time goes on, they'll develop more of an understanding. But I think it's who we put in behind, you know, to allow them to play in their normal roles and not have to force things. So, you know, someone coming deep or when they're not happy to do so. Do you understand what I mean? You know, you need someone who'd be able to lock the door a little bit, have the runners on sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Pepe, it's great to hear Pepe's basically staying with us for 2 weeks and being returned from Ivory Coast just to work on his fitness. And I think Emery must be delighted with having this free, you know, front three around for 10 days with not a lot going on and just being able to work with them. I mean, that's fantastic, right? I can hear an ice cream van
in
the background.
My windows are open and the ice cream van.
Oh, mate, go out there, get me an oyster, will you?
I'll have a 99.
Yeah, 99. Did you used to have a 99? I used to have, as a kid, I used to have a Popeye. Do you remember Popeye? It was a 99 with a cherry popsicle in the top.
I know that. I didn't know it was called a Popeye, but yeah.
Honestly, I noticed my biceps getting bigger after eating that. I'm not going to lie.
you are listening to the Purely Arsenal Ice Cream podcast.
Yeah, we'll do a little episode.
It's going to go off again in a minute, so excuse me. Do you want me to close the window?
No, I quite like it. This is great. This is a great development in the conversation. Talking about too many ice creams, Neil. Kalashnik.
Yes.
On Kalashnik. do you get concerned? We just talked about obviously signings. Yeah. Like the we talk about imminent returns as well. Obviously, we've got Bellerin, Holding, Tierney come back. Yeah. Is Tierney that maybe the biggest one that we're putting the most pressure on.
I think so.
Yeah, because we can't really play a back four with Kolasinac comfortably, can we?
No, I completely agree. That's my only worry about Tierney. So it's not just about the test of his physical attributes, it's about his mental state. And it's really going to be interesting to see how he handles the pressure, because I think there's so much expectation on him to perform just as he would in isolation. But then there's this added pressure that he's actually filling in a space where we truly need a player like him. So I think that will be interesting to see how he copes with all of that. But my preferred lineup at the defence isn't there at the minute. You know, I want to see Tierney, I want to see Bellerin on the sides, and then I want to see potentially Holding, who will then either partner with Luiz, but he prefers a back three, doesn't he? Or Socrates. Now, Socrates, I really liked when he first came, as with Kolasinac. I did. You knew I was loving both of them. And then all of a sudden now, I don't know, I'm not so sure. And I think Socrates is okay, but he sometimes appears a little bit reckless. He wants to go and kill everyone all the time, and which isn't a bad thing, because I've always wanted that physical meanness in the team, which I think we lack so much under Wenger in his later stages of his tenure. I just think that he might be a bit over the top, and that causes the recklessness to come out. And then if he's doing it, then Jack is going to get on the bandwagon. Oh, if he can do it, I can do it. Because if one person makes a mistake, I can make a mistake. And that kind of becomes a bit infectious within the team. And I think we need... This is, again, going back to that same old thing about leadership, isn't it? We need a solid leader in there to tell his players off. Do not do that. What the hell do you think you're doing? I don't think we have got that. And until we get that... I know I'm talking about how hopeful I am with this squad. But until we get a true leader... I think it'll be until that point where I think it will be a real team to be reckoned with. Because I just think we lack someone in leadership. But Kolasinac is just too big and cumbersome, Jack, going back to him. He's great. You know, he's great what he did with Ozil and fought off those thugs. But maybe he should just become a boxer. I just don't think he's not really a footballer, is he? He's just too big. He's huge. And yeah, he does. He can be quite devastating going down the flank and sometimes getting a decent pass in, but it's not consistent enough for me. And at the end of the day, he's a recognised defender. He's supposed to be, so he's got to be doing that job first and foremost for me. And I don't think I've seen a lot of that recently. So again, whether that's down to formation, whether that's down to team tactics, I don't know. But at the end of the day, you've still got to do your job. In my book, if you simplify it, you've got to do your job. A striker's got to score. A midfield's got to, you know, create things. If you're a creative midfielder for the front three, then you've got to have a defensive midfielder that will help the back four or the back three. You know, you've got to do what your label says. And I don't know whether Kolasinac does that for me. So I'm looking forward to Tierney coming in, but I'd hope the pressure doesn't get to him, the expectation. I hope he's a good, strong mental state of frame of mind that he has, along with his abilities, and he can cope with all of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a massive upgrade from what I'm watching with him. I think it's going to be a massive upgrade, but obviously we've got to keep him fit. I mean, he is one of the key players, you know, we really need to keep fit. I was encouraged, though, that Emery stuck with the back four, even with Kolasinac and Luiz in it. But I thought he was going to go back to a back three, to be honest, and we've not seen that yet this season, because I personally do want to see some sort of continuity with something, you know, the system or personnel a little bit, you know, in the big games, because the chopping and changing thing does my head in a little bit, because we're not quite settled, you know. So it's like, yeah, you know, it frustrates me a little bit, but we'll get onto that in a second. But concerns with the early signs of the centre back pairing, Michael, that they might, Luiz and Socrates, might be a little bit too, you know, front footed, a bit too erratic.
Yes, I mean, I can't be the only one that's a bit nervous every time we're defending a free kick or a corner, because these two are renowned to swing a little elbow or pull a shirt, and with VAR about, you know, VAR's going to, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, they between the pair of them, they're going to concede a few penalties between them, sorry to say, unless they adapt. I don't think they're... obviously they're pre-VAR, aren't they? They've been playing their football, so I think that's the worry. They'll have little hiccups, little glitches, and we're crossing a goal going in against us. But again, what is two, three games they've played together? I mean, obviously we've all just looked at what happened at the training ground. You'll hope that, you know, again, over the course of time, like the front three, they'll form some understanding. But then again, if Holding's back and into play and he starts to fit in, then obviously Emery's got a decision to make of which one he's going to go with. But then again, that relationship has to build up again if it's Holding plus one other, or if he does go back to a back three. So who knows? He's got the options anyway. But yeah, it is a worry with those two just being slightly erratic and, you know, doing what they do, just forgetting, you know, having little bits of ill discipline. You know, you do worry.
Yeah, I think this is where the early Europa League games are going to come in really handy for the likes of Holding and Bellerin and players like that, just to get first 11 games, get up to fitness. You know, I think they're going to be thrown into those games, to be honest.
We're missing out Chambers. You know, we've been talking and we're looking at we've had our concerns about him, but to be honest, I mean, it might have been a one-off, but I hope it isn't. He had a good game. It was Newcastle, wasn't it? I thought he had a really good game. He looked really composed. He looked in control. He didn't look ruffled to me. And all right, it's Newcastle, but it's still a first game of the season, like it is for everyone else. If we're struggling with Socrates or even David Luiz, you know, why don't you give the boy a chance again? You know, he didn't do anything wrong. I'm worried that, you know, he's had a good game. He must have gone home that night thinking I've had a good game here, played really well, and then to find that he's not played again since. I do worry about little things like that, and I think that's where Emery again has to be a bit cuter, I think, with his player management.
Yeah, it's a hard one. You can tell. Maybe it's a plan out the back thing as well. You can tell he wants to push that a little bit more this season. And Chambers isn't, I don't think he's terrific on the ball under pressure, to be honest. But I think you're right. He has the right to be a little bit, upset. You know, we've been pushed out of the team. But obviously, Luiz was signed to come straight into the team, it seems. Yeah. But time will tell on it. I mean, if Chambers is our fourth choice centre back, I'm happy with it. I've got no problem with it. I mean, he's taking Mustafi's position in that sense, and that's a huge upgrade.
That's true.
You know, so I've got no problem with that whatsoever. I think, Neil, let's touch on, I'll come back to Michael as well on this, and like the other team says it's the interlull. We talked about our weaknesses, you know, Xhaka, of course, the centre back pairing not yet gelling, obviously, injuries to come back. We're comparing ourselves, really, are we? Obviously, Leicester we have to consider as well. But we, you know, looking at the bigger sides that are regularly there, Tottenham, United, Chelsea, we, you know, we're looking at those sides. They're going to be the ones that we're going to be challenging most likely for top four. They've all got weaknesses too, though, haven't they, clearly?
I think so. I mean, I really focus on Arsenal all the time. That's the team I support. It's the team I love. I don't always look too much at the other teams. I mean, I should do that a little bit more. But I think out of those three you just mentioned, I think Tottenham's probably the strongest out of the three. Chelsea, with obviously having a new manager on board, that's going to be a little bit of an Achilles heel for them. It's shown in the beginning of the season. Man United, I think, are nowhere near. I think they've dropped even from last season. I think I don't consider. Maybe I'm saying something really out of the blue here and off the wall, but I don't consider Man United or Chelsea to be a threat to us. I think our real threat is Tottenham. Leicester, I actually fear Leicester more now than I do Man United and Chelsea. And again, I might be saying something really over the top here, but even Wolves, because I think Wolves have got a good manager, they've got a good unit, they can scare us. I do believe the team that we'll have more of a direct fight with is Tottenham. And for that reason, I really truly believe if we get those new players and the ones coming out of injury firing on all cylinders, and we have a very relatively injury-free season, especially with our key players, I don't think we'll get third. We will get third. That's honestly, because I didn't see too much from Tottenham that really scared the life out of me. Yeah, they exploited us in certain areas, and they are strong. We know that they're physical and they're strong, and they've been together for a while. But they weren't. They didn't blow my mind away. They're not like when you watch Liverpool or Man City, think, oh my God, they are certainly in a different league. We've got yards and yards to catch up with them. I think for us, it's about Tottenham. I'm not worried about Chelsea, Man U, Jack, Michael. I don't know what you think, but I'm not.
Yeah. Michael, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, we've got to be wary. You know, Tottenham have already got a trophy in the bag, haven't they? So the pressure's on, you know, after their sensational Audi Cup win, you know,
yeah.
You know, everyone keeps on going on about. But like Neil says, yeah, I think United, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Again, that could be because, you know, you think they've reorganised their defence. You know, they've got two guys in, they spent a lot of money. Again, I think the longer they go on, things could improve. With Chelsea again, Lampard, they're dropping points, which is great. I think, yeah, Tottenham are going to be, unfortunately, they're going to be the ones we're going to, you know, duke it out with in terms of getting that third place. Because I think, you know, if we don't, we've had a chat, I think if we don't get top four, with what we've already just said, I think, you know, questions have got to be asked, you know, in Emery, especially if we get all the players back that we've spoke about, Tierney and particularly Bellerin, and the front three are firing. Wolves, I think if the longer they stay in the Europa League, possibly that could be a problem, because I don't think they've got that deeper squad. If they start rotating and people start getting injuries, yeah, it's going to be Leicester. I think Leicester are going to be there or thereabouts, because they've got a really good squad, a young squad as well. I think with us, they've probably got one of the youngest squads in the league. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting fight, but I'll be quietly confident that we can definitely finish in the top four this season. You know, you just need to make sure that we are clinical away from home, especially because we were bad from home in some certain games, really stank the place out. I remember West Ham away last season.
Shocking.
Shocking. You know, in places like that, you know, and they're no mugs as well now. You know, they seem to have bought well and are getting results like they do, and then they get turned over the week after like they do. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting race, but I'd say, you know, agree with Neil. Third would be lovely, but I'd be just more than happy just to get that in that fourth spot. That would do me.
Yeah, it's hard for us as Arsenal fans that have had, you know, consistent managers for so long. You touched on it, you know, a consistent manager for so long to sort of question the coach. Look, I think you're. Let me just stick with you, Michael. I think you're right. Is the pressure on Emery, because you know you look at you got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Frank Lampard, relatively new to this top level football. Emery's probably got all the changes that he wants. You know, more than he could have hoped for. We don't really know too much about his contract beyond this year, anyway. What's your obviously positives with him, but what's your concerns as well with him? And I mean, is it top four bust for you?
I'd say yes. If he doesn't get top four, I think there's a great chance of him, you know, being moved along. I mean, I think the pressure, we even said that about him. I think the pressure would be also be, you know, on the Audi Cup winners as well, because I think if you look at Pochettino, right? You know, he's you know, not bought anyone last year, right? And he got to Champions League final, and everyone's blowing smoke up their arse. This greatest team since what? And shifting power and all that stuff. And at the moment, as far as I think I can remember, there's three of his first team players that are out of contract at the end of the season. And so you hope that around January time, February, as the running starts, these three players maybe still haven't signed their contracts. And then, you know, they may be looking to go elsewhere, and they start to think, well, maybe I might start a down tool a bit. I don't want to get injured. So obviously we're talking about Rhodes, Vertonghen and Eriksen, aren't we? So, and they are still there. In, you know, apart from Vertonghen, I think he's Vertonghen played against us. But, you know, no one's talking about that. You know, if that was Arsenal, it'd be like, oh, look at this. Arsenal have let, you know,
very
three
true.
Key players. So the pressure's on him there in that regards. You know, you can see he's feeling it at the moment.
It's Adebayor as well, isn't it, Michael? Sorry to interrupt you.
I think Adebayor, I think he signed an extension.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Or where now, if someone wants to buy him, it's not 25 million anymore. I think the buyout clause is like 40 or 50 or something like that. But yeah, there's three players, you know, three of their key players who are out of contract at the end of the season. So if, you know, things are a bit dicey or close and you've got these guys, they might take their eye off the ball and might want to make sure that they're okay to secure their moves elsewhere if that's what's going to happen. But no, going back to Emery, I think, yes, I mean, for me, it's the type of football we're playing as well, or the identity that we have. You know, what you know, we're still looking at it now. I'm not sure, you know, is he going to be going with a flat back four, three at the back? Is he still going to be too conservative away from home in certain games? Mm. Again, is he going to be picking his best players? You know, is Lacazette going to start some of the big games away from home, which you've picked up on that he doesn't? So all of that, I think, if he doesn't get in the top four, I think we could get Europa League again or worse. I think, you know, with that whole extension, I don't think they'll give it to him. I think they'll think, okay, let's maybe talk to someone else who, you know, possibly one of the other seven guys that apparently were interviewed for the job. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, do you agree with that, Neil, in terms of Emery pressure on him?
I think so. I do, actually. I was a little bit... I think you asked this question last time, or what time before.
It was a different way I worded it, Neil. Yeah. I don't ask the same questions twice.
Yeah, all right. Something similar then. But I... look, Michael hasn't been on in long, so, you know, we can forgive you for asking the same question.
Thank you.
I agree with it. I do, actually, now. I think he's got no excuse. He's got the players he wants, I believe. And if they all are fit, there's no excuse. I think my worry is, and I think we'll let you answer it, Jack, because it was you that brought it up, and you were right to do so. Firstly, for me, the substitutions he makes sometimes are just bizarre. The Mkhitaryan one was a blatant howler for me. Ridiculous. That we could have won that game if Nelson had come on fresh and done something, which Mkhitaryan didn't do, obviously. So substitutions maybe is a bit of a concern. But the other thing is something that I think you should answer, Jack, because you brought it up, it was a good point. With Wenger, we stuck with one system and we never changed, and we wanted him to change it. And with Emery, he just doesn't seem to know, or he does know what his system is, but he just wants to keep tinkering, and he does it even within games, let alone start of games. So maybe you can answer that. So that might be a worry, but I'll let you.
Emery, he just focuses so much more on the opposition than what Arsene Wenger does. So he tries to counter what they're doing. So he naturally adjusts. He's always going to... I don't think we're going to see it. I personally don't think we're going to see a solidified, you know, 11 from him. Mm. I don't even think we're going to see a solid style come out from him, really. He tinkers too much to develop something like that, which can be frustrating. I think we're going to end up with the same questions, is what I'm saying, at the end of the season. I think we're going to sit here and we're going to go, we're still not seeing a style. We're still not seeing, we don't really know our best formation. And I think we might end up with that, because I just get the feeling he just changes things to meet the opposition's weaknesses. Mm. And I don't always think, you know, where you're playing against teams in the bottom half, with all due respect, I think you just got to say, play your best 11 sometimes, steamroll them, you know. But and away from home, like Michael touched on, does still concern me. I mean, we've certainly not put that one to bed yet at all. I think likes of Pepe and Ceballos will help, those sort of counter-attacking, fast-moving players, because he seems to like to play on the counter. So I do think they'll help a lot, but he's got to correct that away form, otherwise we're not getting in the top four. It just doesn't matter what he does. We've got to correct that away form. So I do have concerns with Emery. Don't get me wrong, my absolute dream is for him to stay, to have another contract, because if that happens, that means he's had a successful season this season.
Yeah.
And that means we're back in the Champions League, and that is absolutely what I want. So I want him
to
stay.
Absolutely.
I have considered in my mind, I don't know if you boys have, but I have considered in my mind the prospect of us making the top four and are still not renewing his contract. And I think I spoke to Mark about it, and he went, surely, you know, that can't, you know, that wouldn't happen. And I went, but how much do we really know about the people in charge now?
I don't think we know much. I don't think we really know how cutthroat they are. And maybe they are more cutthroat than we think. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you look at the transfer window and who we've been willing to remove. You also look at, you know, I thought about it the other day. I was sitting there and I was like, how much did Unai Emery rely on Iwobi and Mkhitaryan in the first sort of 6 months of last season? Right? Mm-hmm. And then they've just gone in the in an instant.
Yeah, true,
and,
true.
And is he really having a say in that? Is he really having a full say in those players going? Or is he is he just being kind of told? Do you know what I mean? And I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you mentioned something about Torreira in that regard as well, didn't you? You were saying something about Torreira.
Well, there's a great article. I mean, I haven't subscribed to The Athletic yet, but I think Michael and Mark have, and you'd probably be able to tell me more. But there was it was basically saying he wasn't. He wasn't an Emery pick, was he, Michael?
Right. No, it was. I think it was. It was articles by Amy Lawrence, I believe. You know, great, love Amy Lawrence.
She
basically said he had to be convinced that, you know, he wanted Nzonzi, and I think touching on what you said about his stature and he's worked with him before, and I think it was the stats guys who came up with the numbers for Torreira in terms of what he was doing. And yeah, Emery apparently had to be convinced to go with Torreira rather than his choice, which was Nzonzi. So that would be interesting. And obviously that goes back to maybe him being reluctant to play him in certain games, like you said. And obviously, I think you guys touched on it in the last pod, Torreira's reaction when he scored, you know, little things like that all add up, you know. So you think, you know, this guy hasn't really got confidence in me. He's brought me over here. And all the stuff in the summer about him maybe wanting to go back to Italy, you know. So, you know, little crumbs, you know. But that article did spell out that there was a lot of convincing to be made to Emery for him to get Torreira sort of his choice.
You think about how technically gifted a boy like Verratti was at PSG. Mm. And how much they didn't get along at PSG either. You know, Verratti did not like Emery, did he, whatsoever. And I just wonder, even someone like Santi Cazorla, if he was there now, what his feeling would be and how much he would be a mainstay of Emery's team. Because I just get this feeling there's a stature thing going on, and I'm not sure. So I really want Emery to succeed. I really, really do. I would love him to be here for the long term, or even, you know, to the 3 year point. I'm the concerns that I have are still existing. But he has so much change in the team, and he has to figure it out pretty fast, doesn't he? But if you're telling me, you know, if we're looking at it going Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Frank Lampard, you know, Chelsea did a transfer ban, Man U, I personally, like Neil said, I think they've got some big problems. I personally think Pogba's one of them. I think he's a big problem when the chips are down. You just see this, you know, they lost to Palace at home, didn't they? So I think there's probably, and he's got to finish ahead of those two. If he finishes ahead of those two, and obviously, you know, tries to be ahead of Spurs as well, third or fourth, I'd be ecstatic, and I'd have no problem keeping him. But he has to get it this year, because a lot of people are concerned that he didn't get it towards the end of last year.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I think in the end, the way the season panned out, I think you've got, there's a little bit of a right to have a concern with the way he handled those latter games. You know, but I was certainly willing to give him a 3 year on it and just see. But this year I am personally sort of judging him a little bit more. And I know it's been a lot of change, but it's no different to what the other top six have had to deal with. And, I think it's going to be really interesting, but I really hope he does it. I really, really do. Should we get, just quick before you go, we've got Watford 4:30, I think, Sunday. Thank God we're back in. Start thinking about the game again. Thank God. What's a away game? I know Watford have just changed their coach. They brought in their new manager, who was a previous manager that did quite well with them, but they sacked or whatever. So, Michael, obviously, you know, God, how many times has this happened with us? A new manager comes in before they play us, and we don't...
Conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. We were worried about away games. But they've had a tough start to the season. Thoughts, mate? Thoughts on who? It's hard to say who's going to play, but thoughts on score and scorer?
You know, this will be a good test. As we were talking about the away record, this will be a good one to start it if we can go there and get a result. I know we got a result last year, didn't we, when I think Aubameyang scored that goal that when I think the keeper, wasn't the keeper blasted it against him and he went straight in?
Deeney got sent off.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'll go 2-0 and I'll go with Pepe getting his first one.
Yes, I love that. Well, we've got to see the front three. I mean, they're all back. They're not on an international duty because their managers haven't got a clue with Lacazette about how good he is, which is fantastic. Don't no one tell Deschamps, please, how great he is. Okay, keep playing that donkey Giroud all you like. There's all these fans coming up going, how can Lacazette not be in the squad? Stop talking. So he might read this. He might be on Twitter. Like, stop talking, will you? So we don't. I don't care. Let him sit at home and rest. Lovely. But I hope. Hopefully, I don't think Lacazette's knock is too serious. I mean, nothing's come out about the club. So,
true.
Touch wood, no news is good news. But 2-0 Pepe for Michael. Neil, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I was going to say Pepe. I'll have to change it now. I'll be a little bit more pessimistic on the defence side. I'll go 3-1 Aubameyang.
That's pessimistic side, is it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Okay. 3-1 Aubameyang. I'll go 2-1 Aubameyang. I'm going to say 2-1 Aubameyang.
Okay.
Because, you know, Aubameyang will definitely start. But, boys, that was good. Hopefully we can get on. They keep putting these late games on Sunday.
Can I just say one thing?
Said a shout-out.
Yeah, I know we don't normally do this anymore, but we had a really nice chap who follows us and listens to the podcast, and he had a nice story. So I just wanted to mention him. He's Joe the Gooner, and he's at Daddy Gooner 83, I believe, on Twitter.
Oh yeah, good point.
And he says he can't get to the games anymore because he had a really bad spinal operation that went wrong. He went straight in his spine out or something, and the doctor messed it up, and he's now confined, I think, to a wheelchair. I can't remember what he said to me, and he lives in Norfolk, so he can't get to the games. And what he said was so touching was, you know, listening to you, he was asking when the next pod was out, and he spoke to me yesterday, and I said, I think we're recording tomorrow. And he said, you know, it's the pods that really, you know, fill that gap for me, not going to the games. And he says, obviously I can watch them on TV, but he says the podcast really completes it for him. So it was one of the nicest things that I've heard. And I want to say thanks to everyone. Since we've been back, we've had such an overwhelming response. Yeah. You know, we've had the regulars, we've had a few new guys that have come on that are listening to it. Don't get us wrong, we do welcome all feedback, whether it be negative or positive. But the fact that we're getting a general, overwhelming positive response, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, everyone that gives us support, everyone that retweets us, and likes our when we put the pod out there on Twitter. So just thank you to everyone, really. And thank you to Anthony, big thank you to him for doing the editing and the background work. And thank you to you guys as well, you know, Jack as well, for being as good as host as always, you know, sometimes asking the same question, but
watch it.
But no, just a good thanks. So I just wanted to end on that, on our season so far.
Yeah, great way to end it. Yeah, a ditto, everything. And Aldrin as well has been under a bit of Aldrin always
tweets
our podcast.
Yes.
He's been having some health issues as well, but he says he just always makes sure he tries to listen because it keeps him going. So he's appreciate that. Always love thoughts like that, and we really do appreciate it because we were away for a while, and we know it's for Arsenal fans, you just want to get that consistency, don't you? You just want to be listening to stuff all the time if you're into the podcast thing. So we apologise for that. We'll be back as regular as we can be, you know, once a week if we can be. So, and we'll try and be back. I don't know who, because it's a late game on Sundays again. I think we've got a lot of those, haven't we, with the Europa League, which ruins my schedule. I end up having to force Neil to wake up at God knows what time on a Monday. I'm like, thanks. I don't know when to do it, because by the time the game ends, my baby's slapping my face, and I'm going, oh gosh, all right. Michael knows what it's like. It's just like, okay, here you go, day started. But the most I could do is go chill out for 90 minutes till we win, please. So that's all I want. That's all I want on Sunday. Let's win. I don't know. Is there any big? I don't know who the other teams are playing. We've got to.
Let's focus on us.
Yeah, let's focus on us. Let's get back to winning ways. Been a couple of games, so let's get back to winning ways. And I think we're gonna have a great season, boys. Be positive.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Up the Arsenal, yeah.
You
up
too.
The Arsenal.
All the best.
Come on, you
boys. Come on, boys.